Hello. Thank you for downloading this sermon by Pastor Casey Halenchek. Casey is a missionary pastor with Village Missions. Currently, Casey and his wife Hope and their six children serve the Bangor Community Church and the surrounding area of Bangor, California. Village Missions exists to glorify Jesus Christ by developing spiritually vital community churches in rural North America. We now invite you to open your Bibles and journey with us.
All right, guys. Well, we were away for a week at Village Missions staff conference. So one of my elders, Dave Deli, is giving the sermon this week. So recorded it. It's the audio is not quite as good as normal, but fantastic content. So enjoy.
Well, it's good to have the pastor and his family back again today. And you'd think he'd be up here filling the pulpit, wouldn't you? Well, you know, he's got all that information he got last week, and it's going to take him a while to sort it out. So he'll just have to wait till next Sunday. All right. Let's take our Bibles this morning, and let's turn to 1 Corinthians. We've already read from chapter 1, now we're going to read from chapter 2. And I did this on purpose because I wanted to show the continuity of God's Word and how it's important to stay within the context of God's Word and to have continuity built into what you're reading. So let's begin. And actually, my text is starting on verse 6. But I'm going on chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 1 through 16, which is the entire chapter. And when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest on the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret, hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages of our glory, for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows the person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person, which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in word, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but in himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let's look to the Lord this morning before we get into this scripture. Father, we have the Word of God open before us. Words of wisdom. Words that you have inspired. And words that you have a message for us. May you teach us, Lord. For it's obvious that we don't know everything and we don't have all the wisdom of God. We have the wisdom of man primarily. And Lord, I just pray you open up your wisdom to us today as we look at the scriptures. And we ask for your guidance by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Picture yourself in your garden. And all of a sudden you notice there's a beautiful butterfly. And that butterfly landed on a blossom. When I was a kid, I wanted to run over there and grab it. But here it is, opening and closing its wings. And all of a sudden, it flies away. And it goes to another blossom. Same thing. Same thing. Moves on throughout the whole garden. Just stopping at blossom to blossom, limb to limb, flapping its wings. Now you notice a honeybee. And a honeybee lands on the blossoms that the butterfly was landing on, that he had just visited. However, the honeybee did something more impressive. The honeybee crawls deep into the blossom, sort of disappears, and then all of a sudden emerges. And have you seen them when they come out? Their legs, their tentacles, whatever they have there, is just covered with pollen. It's really fun to look at them and watch them. So the honeybee goes deep down into that flower and comes out emerged fully loaded with pollen, ready to return to its hive. Thinking about this, my question to you, are you like the butterfly? When it comes to your walk and your Christian life and your relationship with the Lord? Or are you more like the honeybee, loaded and full and gaining strength every day from what you're getting from God and God's Word? Sadly to say, many people approach their lives like the butterfly. More like they move from church to church. I call them church butterflies. Because that's what they do. They come, they make a big splash, and they're pretty, and they move on. They get dissatisfied. Church becomes stale to them. They want something more. They're not getting what they want, so they move on. And they don't spend time studying God's Word or reading God's Word or spending time with God. Consequently, they become shallow in their thinking and understanding of God and His Word. Quite often, they become critical and condescending, which causes dissension within the church. I've seen churches split because of this. And it's because of that superficial approach to God and His church and the Word. They lack growth in their lives. It causes them to be defeated in their lives. And they miss the deeper things of God. So that they go landing from blossom to blossom or moving from place to place, hoping to get something rather than to give something. However, the honeybee lands on a blossom, goes deep down, and emerges fully satisfied. The object of the believer is to be more like the honeybee in approach to the church and to God's Word. As a believer, we must find ourselves within the church. We find ourselves a church and to flourish there, to go in and to be part of the church and to find out what God's doing in that area and to be part of it. Just like the honeybee goes into that petal. And so as a believer, we must find our place within a church and flourish there. We need not only read God's Word, but we need to study it. And we have We have a prayer meeting on Wednesday, but a good part of that prayer meeting is studying God's Word. And what we've been doing is going over the pastor's sermon, which you can hear somebody say something here, and how much of it will you retain? How much will you retain of what I say today? Not very much. But we take that sermon and we start working it over. And we start looking at it, and we get deeper into God's Word, and we take a deeper look at what God's doing. And I don't know how many times Jim said he loves to come there more than he likes to come to the morning service because of that, right?
Yes.
And so he recognizes the value of the depth of God's Word and what it can do to the life. So we not only read God's Word, but we study it and we apply it to our lives and we learn from it. And we grow in our faith, drinking deeply of God's Word, being in tune with the Spirit of God. It's there where we gain godly wisdom and godly knowledge and knowledge for our life experiences. Today we're going to look at the hidden wisdom of God in contrast to the wisdom of man. We're going to see the folly of man's wisdom and the need for God's wisdom. We're going to learn how we can find hidden wisdom of God and how it is revealed to us. In 1 Corinthians 18 to 31, as we read this, as Frank read this morning, Paul wrote how the folly of trusting in human wisdom, what it was like. If we try to depend on our own wisdom, where are we going to go? And what are we going to gain? And so it says in verses 19 through 21, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the discernment of the discerning I will pour. Where is the one who's wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. God has made foolish the wisdom of the world. Here's the way I look at that. God's wisdom is so much deeper, so much better than the wisdom of man, and in comparison, it's as if we have no wisdom at all. We think we're pretty wise. We think we're pretty wise in things, but we find out we really are not that wise. So God has made foolish the wisdom of the world because of his wisdom. And God's wisdom is not compared to man's wisdom. God has chosen to save man through a message that appears to be foolish to the average person. Paul thus explains the nature of his preaching when he came to Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5, and when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech and wisdom. I didn't come with a lot of wisdom and fancy preaching. I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That is our primary purpose for sharing God's word. And if it's anything else, then it's just man's wisdom. It must be sharing the God, Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. Can you imagine Paul being that way? I have a hard time getting my mind wrapped around that one from what I know about Paul. But when you start dealing with God's Word, it should cause that. It should cause a weakness and a fear and a trembling. And sometimes you think, okay, Lord, you put me in the pulpit. I'm not sure I know what to say. I'm not sure that I belong there. But God, you did. You put me there. So please give me the words to speak. And it's only by the power of the Spirit of God that anybody can stand up in this pulpit, right, Pastor?
That's right.
And it's that power of God and that spiritual power that anybody's going to understand God's word at all. Paul had a purpose for not appealing to the people in Corinth through excellent speech or wisdom. Paul purposely chose not to appeal to wisdom of man, proclaiming Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul chose this way so that their decision to accept Christ and the things of God would not be a decision made by human wisdom, but that decision would be made by the power of God. I've been praying for one of my friends in the knife-making group that we have. We've mentioned many times together we were cut from the same cloth. We have the same thoughts. We have the same way of doing things. We have about the same amount of skill. And he mentioned to me Tuesday he came. And he said, we have so much in common, and it's funny, he says, except for one thing. You're religious and I'm not. I've been praying for God to open up the door so we could talk about that. And I told him, I said, you know, my desire is that you know Jesus as I know Jesus. And then you know God's word the way I know it. I'm learning. And I said, I could shake you, and I could pound you in the head, and I could bombard you with scripture, and I could do all that, but I said, what would I have? I said, I'd have a scared individual that decided to make a decision, and that decision would not be genuine. So I said, I'm not going to do that to you. I said, I'm not going to do that. It says, it's the Spirit of God. I'm praying the Spirit of God will touch you and talk to you. And that's what we left it. And that's the way our testimony should be. Not that we got so much to share to everybody. We've got to tell everybody about Jesus. And we've got to tell them all these things and stuff. They're not ready for it. And neither will they even understand it. It says it's foolishness to them. So we got to get past that. How are we going to get past that? That's what we're going to talk about. How we get past that.
Argue with them. Okay. Yeah.
Paul did not mean that he did not have wisdom to offer. Paul had a lot of wisdom to offer. And he did have offer spiritually to the spiritually mature, he said. He said in verse 6, among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it's not a wisdom of this age, of rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away. Why spend your time and your effort on something that's going to pass away? Aren't we working towards the eternal values? Aren't we working towards eternal things? Because we are eternal beings, and we were going to spend eternity with God. Lay up your treasures in heaven, not on earth. So Paul speaks of a hidden wisdom in verse 7. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages of our glory. For our glory. The nature of this wisdom and how it can be known is revealed in our text today verse 6 through 16. This wisdom is not the wisdom of the world. It's not the wisdom of the world. Thank God for that. Verse 6 speaks of the wisdom not of this age or known by rulers of this age. And in verse 8, none of the rulers of this age understood this. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. If they really knew what they had, they wouldn't have done it. which illustrates why we cannot place our trust in human wisdom. As far as they were concerned, they were doing the right thing by putting to death a blasphemer when they put Jesus to death. And quite often, man's wisdom leads to poor decisions. Wisdom of God was a mystery hidden from man. As God ordained before the ages, long before the world began, verse 7. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decrees before the ages for our glory. This wisdom is a mystery pertaining to the things man cannot perceive on his own. And verse 9, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor heart man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Wisdom we cannot gain either through sight or sound or through one's own imagination or inspiration or interpretation. Man, left to his own imaginations or devices, cannot know all God wants him to know. Thus, Paul contends that there is a mature wisdom from God that has been hidden from mankind. Paul goes on to say, this hidden wisdom has now been revealed. How then is it going to be real? God chose to reveal his wisdom through his Spirit, through men led by his Spirit. God has a plan. Just as I read in verse 9, and as is written, no eye seen, no ear heard, nor heart man imagined what God hath prepared for those who love him. There are things not seen, not heard, nor entered into our hearts, the things God has prepared for us who love him. God has prepared things we cannot discern on our own, and we need God to reveal his wisdom so that we can understand. There's a lot in scriptures that we don't understand or that have not really been truly explained. I think there's a reason for that. I think it's because if we try to do it on our own wisdom and our own understanding, we will never get to the answer. The only way we're going to is through God's Spirit. And Jesus promised his apostles in John 16, 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all wisdom and all truth, and he will speak on his own authority, or not on his own authority, whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare the things that are to come. Paul professed in his epistle in Ephesians, when you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and will declare to you the things that are to come. It's through God's Spirit who searches the deep things of God. Who alone knows the things of God? Verse 11. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit that's in that person? You don't know my thoughts as much as I don't know your thoughts. You know your thoughts. I know my thoughts. So it's that the person's thoughts, to know that person's thoughts is only that person. And so, also, one comprehends the thoughts of God. No one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. You follow me? Nobody comprehends God except the Spirit of God. And so God reveals to us through his Spirit what he wants us to know. People come to me sometimes and they say, oh, I got to share something. You really need to do something about this. And they start telling me about something God told them that needed to be done. And I said, why are you telling me? Who did God give you that message to? Did he give it to me? No, he gave it to you. So why aren't you doing something about it? That's the way the Spirit of God works. And God's Spirit moves and works with us individually so that we can and know God's will, and so we can be doing God's will by His instruction through the Holy Spirit of God. The apostles received the Spirit of God. Verse 12, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. I'm thankful that they did not receive the Spirit of the world. But if in 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but what? Of this world. That's the wisdom of this world. And we don't need that kind of wisdom. But by contrast, I'm glad they received the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God, they have received freely given knowledge of the things of God, which has been kept hidden from man for ages, which was now being made known to the apostles and prophets of Christ. The apostles received God's wisdom, but only through the Spirit of God. The apostles spoke words of wisdom by the Spirit, not in words of man's wisdom did they teach, but they taught by God's Holy Spirit and what a message he gave. The apostles also wrote words of wisdom so that others might also know. And in Ephesians 3:3-4, when you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. The apostles' writings, the New Testament, makes known God's revealed wisdom. The hidden wisdom of God has been revealed through God's servants recording it in God's Word. Who wrote the Bible? God wrote the Bible, but He also used men to pen it. And how did He do that? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, they are inspired by the Holy Spirit to write things down. So now, we have what? The Spirit of God giving us the wisdom of God. Where do we find it? In the Bible. That's exactly where it is. Now unto him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages but has now been disclosed through the prophetic writings, has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith to the only wise God be glory forever and ever through Jesus Christ. Amen. Romans 16:25-26. The wisdom is most appreciated by those who are spiritually mature. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age, but of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. The wisdom of God is only comprehended by spiritual people. The natural man. Does anybody know the natural man? We're all natural men, women. And it says the natural man is governed and influenced by his natural instincts, animal passions, and desires, in direct opposition to those who are influenced by the Spirit of God. That's the only way that you can change that natural man, is being influenced by the Spirit of God. That's the only way something's going to change and something's going to make a difference. The natural man, in his current state, does not receive the things of the Spirit, for they seem foolishness to him, verse 14a. The natural person does not except the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And cannot know the things of the Spirit because they are what? Spiritually discerned. So you can't know the things of the Spirit until they're spiritually discerned. And that's verse 14b. This helps explain why many people think the Bible is foolish to them and it makes no sense. I've had people say, oh, I've read the Bible before. It's just so confusing. I don't understand it. And the only thing I can say to them is you need to have the Spirit of God in your life. You need to have the Spirit of God in you. How do you get that? By accepting Christ. Become born again. And he says he puts the seal of the Spirit on you. The Spirit of God then comes into you now and begins to teach you and help you understand and to know God. And then you begin to grow, and then you begin to live a life that is not according to the natural man, but according to the way God wants you to live. I say Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what Christianity is. Nothing else. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. The spiritual man is open to the teaching of the Spirit revealed through him through our apostles. Ephesians 3:3-4. In the writer of Hebrews, nobody really knows who wrote Hebrews. They say Paul says because it's like his writing. And others say, no, it's somebody else and so forth. But in Hebrews 5:12-15, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in his word and righteousness, since he's a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. That's being walking in the Spirit. The spiritual man is rightly judged by no one, verse 15. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. Man's wisdom cannot judge godly wisdom. So you might as well not judge. And that's what it says too in the scriptures. Do not judge lest you be judged. In fact, he says, I don't even judge myself. If I judge myself, I judge myself so harshly, there would be no way I'd get up here and stand and talk to you. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it's through the inspired word of the Spirit of God that leads one to true spiritual enlightenment, instructing us in godly wisdom. It's only by the Spirit of God that can happen. No other way. No other way. Not by experience. Not by what you think. Not by what you can imagine. I love that song, I Can Only Imagine. How many don't know that song? It's beautiful. And, you know, to me, my imagination can run wild. Ask my wife. She knows. I can't depend on my imagination. But I can depend on the Spirit of God, and I can depend on God's Word, and I can depend on God's wisdom. So we've seen that the wisdom of God is unknown to men and of this world. Anyone who is outside of Christ has no wisdom of God at all. And what wisdom he has is of no value. In contrast to the wisdom of God is revealed through men led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God leads us, and then we receive the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is comprehended by those who are spiritually led by the Spirit of God, and who are willing to heed to what the Spirit has revealed to them. To a limited extent, the hidden wisdom of God has been made known through the gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. When Jesus wanted everyone to hear, he gave it. Sometimes he'd tell them, don't tell anybody. He had a purpose for that, not to tell anybody. And then he spoke in parables. Why did he speak in parables? Because he said the people wouldn't understand. So he could tell a story, and people would understand that. And then if the Spirit of God is working, what happens? They take that story and give you God's wisdom. We should not assume, because we are Christian, that we're fully comprehend God's wisdom. I don't know how much time I've spent in God's Word. I don't know. I know I've just got maybe a small scrap of God's wisdom. I wish I had it all, then I'd make a lot better decisions in my life, in my walk. I wish I had it. And that's why it's important for me to keep working on finding it. And to keep asking the Spirit of God to teach me and to work in my heart and to work in my life. The Corinthian church had that problem. And if you go through the Corinthian church, you find out he's saying you guys are like infants. You're still on milk. You're still just barely, you know, living as a believer. You need to be in God's Word so that you can grow thereby. In order for us to benefit from the hidden wisdoms of God, we have to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We must avoid being carnal. We must avoid the natural man. We have to avoid being influenced by human senses. We have to avoid using our own wisdom and our own imaginations and our own ideas. They are completely, totally foreign to God. Galatians 5:16, but I say walk in the Spirit and you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. We must grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and in the Word of God daily. 1 Peter 2:1-3. So, put away all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure and spiritual milk, that you may grow by it up to into salvation, if indeed you have tasted the Lord is good. James 1:21. Therefore, putting away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive the meekness and implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Only then, by the grace of God, will we be able to comprehend or to understand the hidden wisdoms of God. At the transfiguration of Jesus Christ, and God spoke these words, and this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Whenever I'm trying to instruct somebody in the ways of God that don't know him, or I'm trying to lead them to the throne of grace, I send them to the Gospel of John. And that Gospel has the complete message of Jesus Christ and why he came. And then I pray that the Spirit of God will take his word and accomplish what it set out to accomplish. And I'll tell you what, that works. No amount of me screaming and hollering and talking about things that I supposedly know about God and that they need to get their lives straight is going to amount to a hill of beans. It's the Spirit of God that moves and works, and I cannot do this, the work of the Spirit of God. None of us can. And so we have to rely on the Spirit of God to do it. So ask yourself today, are you a butterfly or are you a honeybee? If you're a butterfly, you need to consider being a honeybee. Because we need to be deep into God's Word, and we need to take God's Spirit. We need to take it seriously, God's Spirit and God's Word, and apply it to our lives. So, let's pray. Father, thank you for your wisdom. Father, in comparison to our wisdom, our wisdom is nothing. We need your wisdom in making decisions and in living our lives. And in a world of turmoil, we need it more than anything and more than ever. And we need it for our families. We need it for other believers. Lord, we need your guidance, your wisdom, your direction. And we need you, your Spirit, to be alive and well in us, conforming us to the image of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, take your word and teach it with your Spirit. We pray in Christ's name.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Bangor Community Church. You can find us at facebook.com/BANGOR Community Church CA, all one word. If you would like to connect with Pastor Casey, please hop on over to caseyholencik.com. That's caseyholencik.com. Thank you and God bless.
Thank you again for listening and joining us on our journey through God's Word. If you've listened this far and believe in our ministry or us as a family, please consider partnering with us. We would be honored to know that you are praying with and for us. If you feel compelled to give through financial support, information on how and where to give can be found at caseyholencik.com/giving. Thank you and God bless.